It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America needs change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light our way.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." Responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes, it is, and it's coming now, it's coming.
Here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, good Sunday, everybody. This is the Lord's Day. Welcome to VPN Radio. Good to have you listening in. And it's a great day. It's a great day. And I just want to express my appreciation to you for praying with me here on VPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station at this time or any time. As we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. And we have a special guest on today. He's going to be talking about freedom, Christians living free lives. We're going to be talking about changes that we see coming to the church. And there's a new church order coming. And there is a revival coming, another spiritual awakening that I am convinced is happening because we are praying, and the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. And so I'm really excited about what I see God doing. And these are wonderful days. I mean, we have in Charles Dickens says these are the best of days and the worst of days. So on one hand, we see a lot of things happening, and on the other, in our society, government, things are taking place. But on the other hand, we just see incredible things happening as a result of our trust in Jesus. And we're just going to worship Him, honor Him today, and we're going to have special prayers for particularly pastors. And we're going to have special prayers today for those who need some freedom in your life. We'll have Kristen Hammond from Tulsa, who works in this area of ministry. She'll be with us, so this is a good day. Father, we just pray for the broadcaster on this Sunday. We pray your will, plan, and purpose be done as we come boldly into your presence by the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us individually, and we pray that you would speak to us corporately. I pray, Lord, that you give us ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive, and the ability to be able to walk out those things that you are talking to us about. And we are so very, very thankful and grateful for that. Your will be done here on BPN Radio on a Sunday. This is the Lord's Day. We pray for pastors as they prepare to minister to their congregations. We pray for a special anointing. We pray that souls will be saved, lives will be touched and changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and revelation will come. I pray that sick people will be healed today, and those that are bound will be delivered, and those that have no hope will receive great hope today as they attend your house. May they not leave without a dramatic change in their lives. Lord, send revival to America. Lord, I pray revival in 1,000 cities in this nation, and lives will be turned around. Prodigal sons and daughters will come home, and people will get a new life, a new life. And so I declare and decree it in the name of Jesus that you're at work, Lord. You're at work in this nation. And we are so very, very thankful and grateful for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Years ago, I gave a prophetic word to a young man named Dennis Jernigan. And he began to stand up, sing, write songs. He's going to sing for us today. And then we're going to have our special guest on, followed by prayers for pastors today. And also, I'm going to share what I see happening in the church, and what also a guy by the name of John Burton from Detroit, Michigan, what he declares is that the new church is going to look like. So, wow, we have a great day in store for you. So don't go away here on BPN Radio. This is Dennis Jernigan. You're on a Sunday. Blessed Redeemer,
like you. And who on earth could comfort me and love me like you do? And who could ever be so faithful, true? I will trust in you. Trust in you, my God.
My God, there is a fountain. Who is the King? Victorious warrior and Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter.
Okay, it's a privilege to have here on BPN Radio today, your 24-hour internet prayer station, as our special guest, a young lady that I've known for several years, Kristen Hammond. And Kristen is the associate pastor of Rivergate Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I've ministered there several times, and she oversees the Children and Youth Department as well as the Rivergate School of Supernatural Ministry, the Rivergate Apostolic Network. And she's married to Shane Hammond. They have two children. I understand that Kristen has another one on the way. Didn't know that. Congratulations. And Kristen is, since age 12, has served in the Children's Ministry Department, currently mentors and ministers to the youth of Rivergate Church on a weekly basis with a degree in early childhood education, special education from Oral Roberts University. Pastor Kristen has developed the School of the Supernatural to be a strong training center for anyone with any background to pursue authentic discipleship with Jesus. And she's written some of the school's most popular classes, including Breaking Free. And that's what we want to talk about today. Kristen, thank you for being on today's broadcast.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And congratulations on a third child coming.
Thank you. We're excited.
I know that you are. And you're part of a great church. Always enjoy ministering there at the church, Rivergate Church, with your mom and dad also, Pastor Joe and Linda Budd. And we want to talk about Breaking Free today. There's an epidemic in the church. I believe that. And there are so many pastors today that they don't talk about this subject, and yet it is, you know, I would call it an epidemic in the church. So talk about breaking free and some of the the misconceptions that we have in the church today concerning people being bound by strongholds and being demonized. And just share a little bit with the congregation today so we can pray for some people.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I grew up being a pastor's kid and being in the church. And before we experienced the Holy Spirit and we experienced renewal, when someone talked about deliverance, the picture that I would get in my head is someone described in the Bible that is foaming at the mouth, that is acting all kinds of crazy, falling down, rolling on the floor. And the misconception that I had is that you had to be really screwed up and not know Jesus to need deliverance. And unfortunately, I think that's kind of what gets communicated to a lot of people, whether it's directly said or not. People in America tend to have the idea that if I need deliverance, there must be something wrong with me. And so there's a lot of shame about it. People tend to think my issues, my private life, I don't have to talk about it. I can handle this on my own. And there's even a stigma for pastors and church leaders as far as needing deliverance themselves. I think that there's a fear that if they admit to people, to their congregations, to people that they minister to, hey, I have a problem in this area of my life, then people are going to leave them or disown them and not support them anymore, and that it would disqualify them for ministry, which is absolutely untrue. If you look at Scripture, the guys that Jesus chose to be his disciples were probably some of the most screwed up guys there were, yet they did some of the greatest stuff, and they did deliverance ministry themselves. And so deliverance is just something that we all need. We all live in a fallen world, and we all get slimed. You know, think of the Ghostbusters movie. Mm-hmm. We all get slimed from time to time. You know, we drive a car. You drive a car. I drive a car. After it rains, after it snows, you need to get your car washed, right?
Right.
I know that I do, too. And if you drive a car in the streets of the U.S., every now and then you're going to need a car wash. So if you live in this world, in a fallen world, every now and then, even though your eyes are focused on Jesus, you're going to need a spiritual car wash, so to speak. And so this shame, this idea of shame that has been projected onto the church, that if there's something wrong with you, you better keep it hidden, or you better not let people know about it, is totally from the enemy. It's setting people up to get hurt, to hurt more people, and people are protecting their shame instead of going after freedom. And one thing that I tell people is most of the deliverance that we need has nothing to do with what we've done personally. We've been set up by the enemy to have hurt happen to us, and in our hurt, sometimes we make stupid choices, but we got set up by the enemy, and we need Jesus' love all over us.
I absolutely agree. And I have read your materials. I think you have some of the most incredible materials on deliverance, freedom, that I have ever read. I really believe, Christian, you're one of the best kept secrets in America, because I believe that many churches, many Christians could profit from those materials. And I'm going to ask you how people can get those in a moment. But, you know, I guess I'm just kind of stunned why there's such a huge hindrance in American Christian churches regarding the idea of Christians needing deliverance. And many churches won't teach on it. They're afraid to do so. Many don't have the resources to help people with this kind of ministry. And so it's just one that is, it's kind of an issue, don't ask, don't tell. But it's a major problem. So many people are bound in the church. So why aren't pastors not talking about it?
I think there's a lot of fear there, and there's a lot of shame. I know personally, I recognized in my life growing up that I struggled with the issue of rejection, for example. And there's a lot of lies that get told to you in the process, because there's a lot of miscommunication out there, good intentions, but miscommunication. For example, growing up with rejection, I thought that I would just have to learn how to overcome it, that some people struggle with it and some people don't. And those are all lies. And I came to realize that it was a spiritual issue. I read every book that I knew to read, every self-help book. I tried every leadership strategy that I could try, and none of those things would work. Secular materials didn't work. Counseling didn't work. Christian authors, it didn't work, even though, you know, they had good things to say. It was a spiritual issue, and so it required spiritual help. And it's a spirit issue, so it required deliverance. And when I got free from that spirit, my life totally changed. The shame was gone. The fear was gone. The rejection was gone. I wasn't believing some of the lies that I used to believe anymore. But I had to come to that place in my life. And I think pastors and leaders do too. And they have to lead their congregation to that place. And the best place to do it, the best place to start, is by leading them themselves and being honest. This is what I'm going through. People will always get behind a transparent leader. Somebody standing up and saying, this is what I'm going through. I refuse to protect my shame anymore. Whatever it takes, I am going after more of God who's with me. People will get behind that and will get motivated by that and feel the power of the Holy Spirit on that.
I really believe that. And, I just would like to encourage pastors and leaders, anyone that may be listening to BPN Radio today, to get your materials. And tell me about the Breaking Free classes that you've written and teach and you teach on.
Sure. We have two different classes, Breaking Free Part 1 and Breaking Free Part 2. Breaking Free Part 1 is an 8-session class, and we usually teach it over the course of 8 weeks. And it starts off with the basics and goes all the way through being able to get personal deliverance in ministry. And we deal with different areas. We talk about the sins of the fathers and the resulting curses. We talk about soul spirit hurts and ungodly beliefs. We talk about demonic oppression. We talk about forgiveness, because I am amazed at how much forgiveness really plays a part in the deliverance process, and how many people just don't even understand the concept of deliverance or have misconceptions about it. And each class takes you through personal homework that helps you get deliverance while you're in the class. And so at about week 7, we usually gather people together for some personal ministry time. We call it Breaking Free Weekend. And people have fallen in love with Breaking Free Weekend. They show up time and time again as alumni because they just really get ministered to personally. And that's kind of like where the Holy Spirit shows up. And because the stronghold has been dismantled through all of the homework assignments and through the teaching, the whole stronghold just comes crashing down without any of those manifestations that people get scared about. Oh my gosh, I'm going to foam at the mouth and I'm going to fall down and it doesn't happen. It doesn't have to happen. You know, there's no demonic voices that are speaking out of people or anything like that. It doesn't even happen. And the class itself teaches someone how to live a lifestyle of deliverance. And once they complete part one, they have all the tools necessary to keep doing deliverance on themselves, because we're going to need ongoing deliverance until we get to heaven. And then in part two, we address some specific spirits. And it's not as intense homework-wise as far as part one goes, but it really deals with some strongholds that are affecting churches and communities and even different areas of countries. And that's a 10-week class. Most of it is taught by Pastors Joel and Linda Budd, and it has some very practical reading that goes along with it. So it's very personal, but yet corporate at the same time.
Kristen, tell the listening audience today before we pray how they can get your materials and get involved in what you guys are doing, because you're not just Johnny come lately. I know you've been doing this for a number of years, and I just know you've had tremendous fruit from the ministry there. So how do people make contact with you?
Sure, they can contact us in two different ways. They can email me directly, and that is CRISTINH at rivergatetulsa.org, or they can call our office at 918-492-5511, extension 39. And we have the class available for individuals who are interested in taking it in a correspondence way, or we have materials available for a church or a ministry that wants to teach it as a class with their own personal groups. And I'd be happy to answer any questions for churches and ministry groups that want to get it going as a class with their own area.
So pastors and churches, they could they can teach your materials?
Yes, yes, we want them to. We want this to get out worldwide.
Okay. And does the church have a website that people can visit?
Yes, rivergatetulsa.org.
Rivergatetulsa.org. Rivergatetulsa.org. Yes. Kristen, thank you so much. And of course, this is a prayer time, broadcasting 24 hours a day, and really appreciate you being on. And but I want you to say a prayer for those today that are listening to the program, praying with us, and just needing some ministry, some freedom in their lives, some strongholds broken. So if you would pray in conclusion today, I would appreciate it.
Sure, I would love to. Jesus, I pray that you would come right now and that you would reveal yourself in a supernatural way to each and every single person that is listening in, that has been saying, you know what, I have been struggling over and over and over again in this area of my life, and I just really need some relief. I pray that you would reveal yourself to them and that you would wrap your loving arms around them. God, I thank you for what you did for us with the cross, and that we have direct access to get the deliverance and to get the freedom that we need. I pray that right now you would just silence the lies of the enemy, and you would silence any shame and any fear, and that you would cause your Christians, your disciples, your church to rise up with boldness and say, whatever it takes, I'm going after my freedom. Whatever it takes, I'm going after my calling and I'm going after my gifts. Whatever it takes, I'm not going to protect my shame any longer. I am going for everything that God has for me, for my full destiny. Jesus, I pray that you would just release supernatural grace in this season for each and every single person that's going to pursue deliverance, that wants to pursue freedom, and that you would just release the resources from heaven, the revelations from your heart that people need to go after it. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you very much, Kristen. Kristen Hammond, God bless you. And Gina, looking forward to being there at the church on New Year's Eve. Thank you for being on the broadcast today.
Thank you.
It's good to have you listening in here on VPN Radio on this Sunday. And here we are on the middle of August, hot summer August day on Sunday. And you're listening to VPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Dale Gentry here at this time, anytime. We pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. And would like to remind you that next Sunday, I'm going to be ministering at First Assembly of God Church in Corning, New York, via Skype. And with a great service in Vermont, Bethel Church. Gateway Church, Bethel, Vermont, a couple of weeks ago. It was great. Skyping. Doing more of that, being able to broadcast from my studio into different churches across America and even different churches in the world. These are wonderful days, new days, when God is doing incredible things in the church. And our theme song all of these months, in fact, for a long time, has been We Need to See a Change, sung by my spiritual grandson, Leland. And Leland, of course, is talking about We Need to See a Change in America. That actually was the theme of our current president. And but we need to see radical spiritual changes. And a guy by the name of John Burton from Detroit, he has written an article about a prophetic article about what he sees changes coming to the church. And he said the current church paradigm is so prevalent and saturating in our culture that people just can't seem to wrap their minds around the shift that is coming. So he said it seems nonsensical, threatening, or just plain bizarre. They wonder how their ministry stream or focus or gifts fit in that structure. There's a new structure coming, and I certainly believe the most part of it. He said the reality is that it may not, or it may be radically redefined. The discomfort level will be quite high. It will take a radical remnant to truly sign up for the Reformation, for the revolution of the church. The disciples of Jesus had an idea of what it would look like in Acts 1, but Jesus radically violated their dreams, plans, and comfort zones by leaving and commissioning them to establish what they hoped Jesus would build. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. So he said the book that he's currently writing will be addressing some of the spiritual practical changes that will be coming to the structure and expressions of the church. Trust me, it will shock our nation severely. Those who hold on to a structure or a ministry instead of Jesus himself will not be willing to go where God is heading. So he's prophesying here's what the coming church will look like. And I agree with it most in part. One or two issues I might have a little challenged with. But he said services will become more like prayer meetings. One of the greatest indictments on the church today is that prayer is not the driving force. Today, people tend to choose churches based on the appeal of the teaching and the worship instead of the fervency of prayer. If the church was a house of teaching or a house of worship, that would make sense, but it's not. The church is a house of prayer for all nations. Every person of the church will function as a burning intercessor, and the services will be marked by this unified groan of fiery prayer. Personal need will give way to personal mission. Today, churches are often more like organic, socially driven hospitals. People tend to use the church as a way to meet their personal needs instead of serving it as a minister of God. This is going to change, he said. Of course, there will still be like personal ministry and true needs will be addressed. However, instead of the church functioning as a hospital, it will once again function as a mission-driven military. The mission will take precedence. The saints will be equipped for service, not for personal survival. In this ancient and emerging model, there will be mass units that will take very good care of the wounded with the primary purpose of getting the soldier back into battle. Apostles will again lead with governmental authorities. Pastors will be seen as the main leader less and less as they focus more on shepherding and less on primary leadership. Teaching will be minimized while instruction is emphasized. Teaching is mostly for personal edification, while instruction is mostly for corporate assignments. Today, most churches focus on teaching principles of Scripture, providing truths that will help believers navigate through their lives and giving nuggets of biblical info. While there will still be important Bible teaching, apostolic instruction will emerge as a necessary new ministry. There is enough Bible teaching online on CDs and books and on video to turn every one of us into personal spiritual giants. We need to take it upon ourselves to grow. What is lacking, however, is apostolic leaders, military commanders who give instructions and assignments to a ready army. Teaching is personal growth based, whilst instruction is a call to corporate action for the sake of mission fulfillment. He said, we will gather together most of the week. And he said, cares of life will lose their powers. We simplify our lives and put corporate prayer and mission ahead of most everything else. Worship will be supernaturally driven. There's a new sound coming to worship, and it's not simply a new style. There's a supernatural, otherworldly groan of intercessory worship that will explode out of the entire body as a new breed of trembling worship leaders lead the way into the shock and awe of the glory of God. We will no longer simply sit in a pew or stand with a raised hand while a familiar worship song is sung. The prophetic groaning sounds of Holy Spirit facilitated worship will make it normal to shake, fall to our faces as we cry holy. The natural, logical sing-alongs will be no more. We'll have a hard time standing as God's Shekinah and Kabod glory resides in his church. Worship teams will practice less and pray in the spirit with tears in their eyes more. God is about to answer that cry. I strongly recommend that you read my book called 20 Elements of Revival. And so his book reveals much of the shift that we must embrace right now. So his name is John Burton, and I don't believe in every iota of his book, but I believe it is certainly worth reading because I believe that he has a prophetic insight. He has a handle on the emerging church in America, and I believe it's the church that's going to embrace the next wave of revival, spiritual awakening. It's coming to America. So we get on our knees and pray. That's going to be the key. On our knees. And so Dennis Jernigan, who I gave a prophetic word years ago concerning his ministry there in Oklahoma City, I prophesied that he would begin to sing and write music, lead worship. And he's been a tremendous force over the many years. And he has an incredible ministry of being delivered from homosexuality. And he has that ministry, and he's been very, very effective along with his worship music. I'm going to be back to talk about, I'm going to be back to pray for pastors and talk about what's going on in the church, some up-to-date news, and you don't want to go away. So here's Dennis Jernigan. He's going to sing a prayer song. This is from an album, Hands Lifted Up, Dennis Jernigan. And he has different well-known recording artists singing with him. And we'll be back in just a moment. Let's worship.
When I don't know what I need to get on my knees. When waves of doubt crash over me, I need to get on my knees. On my knees I find refuge, on my knees I find grace, on my knees I can feel you, like we're meeting face to face.
I find grace in your hand. I can feel you like we're meeting face to face.
There you have Dennis Jernigan and company, On My Knees.
On my knees I find refuge, on my knees I find grace, on my knees I can feel you like we're meeting face to face.
I appreciate those who are praying with us today here on BPN Radio. So thankful and grateful for Dennis Jernigan. You can get that CD, Hands Lifted High, with Dennis Jernigan and company. So good to have you listening in on BPN Radio today. We're praying on this Sunday. I pray for whatever is happening in your life, whatever you have need of. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come and minister to you. In Jesus' name, whatever it may be, Lord, I just ask that you minister and bless every individual today that is listening to BPN Radio. And this Sunday, I pray for them. I pray your will, plan, and purpose be done in their lives today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for whatever is going on in them. I ask God that you minister to them, and I understand there's no trouble like trouble that comes our way. So I just pray for those that trouble has come their way, Lord. I ask that you minister to them and help them and strengthen them. May they put their trust in you, and may they never lose confidence, because you're a God that is at hand. And he's just a whisper away. So I pray that you will trust him. I pray for those of you that don't know the Lord, that you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. The Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I'm asking you right now just to say this prayer with me. If you don't know Jesus, maybe these are desperate days in your life and you need some help. There's someone who cares. His name is Jesus, who went to the cross of Calvary and died for you, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You rose on the third day. Would you say this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you arose on the third day. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And with your strength and with your help, I'm going to live for you and serve you all the days of my life. And if you've said that prayer, you need to get you a Bible and start reading. Just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or just read the red if you want to start with, and begin to read and find you a Bible-believing church and get involved with the church family and support your pastor. I'm praying for pastors right now who are going through difficult times, difficult days. I was a pastor for over 20 years, so I know what leading a church is. I know that you're on call 24 hours a day. I know that it can be very challenging. And today, there's a major war going on against pastors. Many pastors are leaving the ministry. In fact, 1,500 pastors quit every month in America. 97% of pastors say they have been betrayed, falsely accused, or hurt by their trusted friends. 70% of pastors battle depression. This is from recent statistics that's been released. 4,000, I've been saying 4,000 churches closed last year, but they say 7,000 churches in America will close this year. That is something we could really, really pray about. When we have 7,000 churches that will close this year in America, that is a national tragedy. That is a red flag going up that something is happening in America that should not be happening. 1,500 pastors, as I said, are quitting every month, and 10% of all of those pastors will retire this year. 80% of all pastors feel discouraged. 94% of pastors' families feel the pressure of ministry. 78% of pastors have no close friends. And 90% of pastors report working 55 to 75 hours a week. We got to pray for pastors right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for shepherds. And we know the last line of defense in America is those men and women that stand in the pulpit, behind the podium, on the platform, and preach the gospel and contend for the faith. And I pray, Lord, that pastors will not be afraid to preach the word, to declare the word in Jesus' name. And I pray that parishioners, that church members, that congregants, they will endorse their pastor. They will love their pastor and his family, her family, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I pray for these men and women of God that lead these churches across America. I pray for them. I pray that you would uphold their hands. I pray that you would strengthen them, and I pray that you would bless them, and I pray that you would anoint them, and I pray that they will not be afraid to stand for the truth, because we know the truth will make us free. I pray, Lord, they'll preach the word. They will be men and women that declare the difference between holy and unholy, righteous and unrighteous, godly and ungodly. And they will address current issues. They will speak out on issues that are happening in America. And there will be clear definition of what they believe as their leader. They will hear something and say something. And Lord, we know one of the major challenges that pastors are having all across America, spirits of Jezebel. The Jezebel spirit has gotten into the church to destroy the voice of authority. And so many pastors are leaving the ministry today because of deacon boards or board church board members that have no idea. They have no idea of what leading a church is all about. They approach it from some type of corporate standing. They approach it from some type of a business standing. They approach it like you would operate a city government. And they handcuff the pastor. It's a Jezebel spirit. And we know there are Jezebels in the church today that have come to destroy the voice of the authority and make the pastor, the church leaders, a puppet or puppets. Jesus had something to say about the Jezebel spirit. And here's what he had to say. And this is pretty powerful, but it is great. He said to the angel of the church of Thyatira, "These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, your patience. As for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, he said, I have a few things against you. Because you allow that woman, Jezebel." Now, I believe that that men can have a Jezebel spirit. But Jesus, the words are in red. He plainly said that woman. And you know that I'm not anti-women in ministry. In fact, I believe that a woman is submitted to her husband or submitted to some type of authority that she can lead a church. And I know that's probably controversial to some, but I believe it's going to happen more and more. So I'm not against women in ministry. But he did say, "You've allowed that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself," in other words, giving herself a title, "who calls herself a prophetess, to teach. You've allowed her to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds." He said, "I'll kill her children." I'm telling you, Jesus says the most powerful, the strongest words that I've ever heard him say in the Bible. He said, I'm going to destroy that spirit. Because we know that Jezebel in a church is not the main spokesperson. They use other women in the church to carry out their awful deeds. So she has components that she's placed in the church. And most of the time, a Jezebel, a woman of the church, will work to, because a Jezebel hates the voice of male authority, she will work to discredit the voice of the pastor, of the leaders in the church. And she will do whatever she can to do that. She will give prophetic words. She will work behind the scenes. And, she will go even to the point of seducing that pastor, causing him to have an adulterous affair with her or one of her comrades that follow her because they think that she is a super spiritual person. And it's amazing how many people in the church will follow someone else other than the pastor, the church leader, leaders, if they appear to be more spiritual than the pastor. And the Jezebel in a congregation will work to bring attention to her spirituality, even giving prophetic words to people in the church, giving directions, operating in a spirit that is not the spirit of Christ. And I call it the spirit of familia, the spirit of familiarity, where she's operating in some type of spirit, knowing certain things, but does not come from the Holy Ghost. You say, well, that's pretty heavy on a Sunday, but I have not been in the ministry for 49 years for nothing. And so, you know, there will be seductions. Many pastors now are falling into immorality by women of the church, through women of the church who want to destroy their effectiveness. And they are becoming very effective. Wives better watch for their husbands and step up and stand by his side. So we got a lot of warfare going on in the church, and explosions are not only happening outside, but Satan is working to bring destruction to the inside of the church. So I pray for every pastor, and I bind every spirit of Jezebel in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every Jezebel spirit, and I command that spirit to be quiet. I pray that pastors will be strong and of a good courage. I release favor upon these pastors leading churches. I bless them right now in the name of Jesus. I ask the Holy Spirit to anoint them. May they be strong leaders, and may they speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God, you'll be strong and of a good courage as you lead that congregation. I pray for you right now. I pray in Jesus' name that all spirits of discouragement, oppression, depression will be broken in Jesus' name. I visited with a pastor only about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I just met him, and I said, let me pray for you. And he said, okay, I'm fixing to take a vacation. And I did not know that when he returned from the vacation that he was going to resign his church. So I began to pray for him, began to prophesy over him. And I prophesied about a Jezebel spirit that was trying to run him out of town and get him to move away from that city. And I just began to bind that spirit. And after I got through, he said, that's exactly what's happening. So I prayed for him. So I bind every Jezebel spirit. I declare, you pastors, you be strong and of a good you be strong and of a good spirit, a good heart, a good anointing, a good courage, and you stick with it. And I ask for all of you parishioners, congregants, church members, stand with your pastors, hold up their hands, tell them they're doing a good job. We break that attack on the church in Jesus' name. I gotta go. My time is up. But I'll be back at this same time tomorrow. Actually, I'll be back anytime as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.